I had a request for a sermonette. I had mentioned in a sermon once the difference between Zion and Mount Zion. And so I had a request to come back and in a sermonette, maybe I could focus on that directly a little more. And so it actually, as I studied it out more fully, I thought, well, you know, this thing could expand as far as you want to go. But at some point, you're going to get past the point of what I know for sure into the point of what I think. You know what? What I believe I can put back into a sermonette. We'll just skip the part about what I think, and I'll bring it in at the smaller level than that. But I do want to mention something. If you remember the story in Daniel 2 of the great image that is struck at the feet by a stone, and the comment is made, the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So one thing we have to be careful of when you're talking about poetry, prophecy, when you're talking about things in part that are symbolic, mountain can't always just be a big pile of rock and dirt that we have on the earth. And we see Mount Zion, we're going to have to allow for the fact that mountain includes rule, governance, God's authority in various ways. Zion is a little different than that. Zion is a location. And so I want to offer a few comments, at least for reflection. I think if you go back, and I took New King James, and I just looked up, Zion is used 160 times in the New King James. City of David, which is Zion, and I'll address that, is used 46 times. And daughter of Zion is used 28 times. So what have you got? Well, you got a specific location that's identified in the Bible at a specific point in time. You have then that becoming representative of a regional area, effectively Jerusalem. And then you have the daughters of Zion who are the descendants of those who were there. And you, again, some of it's literal, some of it's typical, or some of it is symbolic. If you then go to Mount Zion, you have 21 times in the Bible, again, New King James. You have the mountain of God, 8, the mountain of Jehovah, 5, and my holy mountain, 11. Those are related in various ways. And there you can keep moving. You can go to a little bit further where the terms are addressed and add a few more. Mount Zion is where God dwells. Zion is a specific location on the map in what is Israel today. And so I want to show you that from Scripture. But again, if we go back then and consider, you have a literal reference, you have a figurative reference, and much of the prophecies are actually, if you'll notice, it's in prose, well, not prose, it's in a form of poetry. When you get to poetry, it's symbolism that expands and is used in the intent, basically under inspiration of the author. So I want to keep this to maybe the most basic sense, but I want to start with the Bible Topical Index. On the inside back cover is a picture of a mountain. That's actually Grand Teton from a time when I had a chance to actually climb around on it. And the scripture is from Isaiah 2:3, and it says, "Come you, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, we'll walk in his paths. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Jehovah from Jerusalem." So you have Zion and Jerusalem, and you have the mountain of the Lord and the house of the God of Jacob in the same verse. And they're both concepts, but they're contrasting concepts. They're not just repetition of the same thing. Someday this is going to be a collector copy when I'm gone, so you might want to get yours while you can. 1 Chronicles 11, verse number 4. I'll just read the paragraph as it's broken up in my text. "David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. But the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, 'You won't come in here.' Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David." It wasn't the city of David before he took it. It was after he took it. It's a specific place. It is the stronghold. It's the fortress. It's not even the top of the ridge on the hill where the mosque is today. It's down the hill a ways. That was Zion. It says, David said, whoever attacks the Jebusites first will be chief and captain. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, he actually had a father, but went up first and became chief. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore, they called it the city of David. And he built the city around it from the Milo to the fill-in, from the area that had been filled in, to the surrounding area. Joab repaired the rest of the city. David went on and became great, and Yahweh, Jehovah of hosts, was with him. All right? So we have a very specific reference in Scripture. Zion was a fortress. It was the Jebusite fortress that David conquered, and it became the city of David, and it became the core of what would become Jerusalem. And so you have now Zion being a location, which is also now a reference to the people of that location, and also prophetically from the descendants of the people of that location. And that's it kind of broadens in its usage. Now, Hebrews 12 is the Mount Zion in verse 18. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 18. Says, you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, which was where the commandments were given, to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned and shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all. This is a reference to where God's presence is. It's a reference to where God dwells. Now, it could be a reference to where he dwells temporarily. He was in the first temple. He was in the tabernacle. He was in the first temple. The time came when God warned Israel that if they didn't straighten out, Israel went into captivity, Judah remained. If they did not straighten out, that he would leave them as well. And they didn't straighten out, and he left. And that was addressed in a sermon. Rick actually addressed that some time back in a sermon where that record is in Scripture. You know, the warning is pretty amazing right there. God says, I'm with you, you do as I say. Now, I'm with you. If you don't do as I say, if you don't use what I gave you, if you don't keep moving with what your responsibility is, I am leaving. Or I'll go somewhere else. I'll go give someone else an opportunity. And so that reference is very clearly a warning in Scripture. Mount Zion is where God dwells. Zion is a physical location, and also the people of that location and the descendants of those people, depending on how it is used. So if we're looking at all of these terms, I would expect that you can find a term that's prophetic, you can find a term that's poetic, and you can say, well, what about here? And the best argument I can give for that is the reference to our God the Father in Scripture. If you have 6,000-7,000 references to Jehovah, and you start out and you find a whole string of them that work together and match, and it matches what the description was in the New Testament looking back, you have the answer. But first, I had an answer that I understood without necessarily knowing every single implication where that term was used. But the God of Bethel, the time came when I knew the answer to that. The time came when I knew how the angel, the messenger, was speaking in first person or in third. There were times when Zechariah 14 now became clear. So I would assume with Zion and Mount Zion, if you start out with a body of Scripture that makes sense and is in agreement, that in time, some of the additional Scriptures might then fall into place. But it gives us the corner pieces and the edge pieces to put in place. So Isaiah 24 then is a scripture that has kind of popped out to me, and I've used it a number of times. But it puts, again, both concepts back together as when we started in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 24, verse number 21. It shall come to pass in that day that Jehovah will punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They'll be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, will be shut up in the prison, and after many days they will be punished. This is a very clear reference to the time of the destruction of Babylon, the disruption of Satan's rule, the binding of Satan and the demons, the later punishment that will take place after the millennium. It says, then the moon will be disgraced and the sun shamed, for Jehovah of hosts will reign. He's going to be there. It's his presence on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. If God goes to Jerusalem and places his presence, then his throne is in Jerusalem. If he leaves Jerusalem because of the disobedience or the unwillingness of his people to obey and serve him, then his throne is where he places it back, ever where that would be. That's his option and his choice. But there's a difference between Mount Zion and Zion, Jerusalem. And the distinction here is when God comes down to the earth, they will be in the same place.